Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Well, Kyle, it's good to be back. Let's start with a word of prayer.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this medium to use to talk about you and to brag about your greatness and your goodness and your love for us. And Lord, I am so thankful that I do not serve a negative God. I serve a God that's positive and life-giving. And not a God of death. So we praise you. We thank you so much for this opportunity. We pray that you'll guide our conversation. And that, Lord, the things that were said last Sunday would be just a challenge going forward to all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So this week was not you.
That's right.
Tag, you were not it. Jonathan took over the pulpit for the week, and
for those that don't know, Jonathan Darnell is our youth pastor,
right?
And he's been with us a couple of years now, and he and his wife Faith are just wonderful additions to our staff, and just a great blessing to us.
I agree, and I also find him to be a surprising. I say this, I don't want to disparage him, don't want it to sound like I'm disparaging him, because I'm not. He is a surprisingly thoughtful gentleman. He really puts a lot of, it's obvious he puts a lot of thought into his sermons, and he's just full of knowledge. And but at the same time, where we usually see him and where we see him, where he seems to be the most comfortable, is nearly acting like one of the kids out there playing with them and having a great time.
Sure.
Which, since he's the youth pastor, obviously makes sense. He's a great guy. And this one I thought was more timely than most.
Yes.
The path to overcoming, and particularly with anxiety. And at first, I must admit, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, like, oh boy, here we go with anxiety and teenage stuff, and which there's that. And then I remembered there's an election coming tomorrow as we record this. And there's a lot of anxiety wrapped around that particular issue, as well as just life in general. I'm curious as to how do you define, what would you define anxiety as? How would you define that?
Well, before we get into that, could I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
About why Jonathan was preaching yesterday? I mentioned this as I introduced him on Sunday, but, you know, a few weeks ago I knew this was going to be a busy week for me, but more than that, Jonathan came in and was talking about some things that he had shared with our youth because of their anxiety and the mental health crisis that's going on in our nation with our young people. Anyway, I heard what he was saying about that. I knew it was about Philippians chapter 4, and it just hit perfectly in our preaching cycle because we've been preaching through the book of Philippians talking about joy. And so great timing, mm-hmm. and the message was spot on and very needful. And now to your question about what is anxiety. Well, anxiety is that which a fear that causes us to worry. I mean, that's a pretty simplistic definition, but It is a expression of fear, feelings of fear that are caused by the fact that we're worried about stuff.
So, I agree with the definition. I agree with the necessity for it. I'm trying to not look at the past with rose-colored glasses and say, you know, when we were young, it wasn't like this. Was it? Have we always just been anxious people?
Well, it's always a temptation, or Paul would not have written what he wrote in Philippians 4.
I guess it has been around a while, right?
It's a human need. It's a human tendency. It's a human weakness because of sin. And it is a sinful act. And most folks think, well, they're just worrying. And that somehow or another makes it okay. Well, for us to worry about things like that, like the scriptures talking about, Jonathan talked about, is actually a sinful action that has great, great consequences to us physically as well as emotionally. And so it's a very important issue. But now, as far as the past is concerned, folks in the, I think things seem to be worse today because the stress level is so much higher today in this culture. We grew up in a much calmer time, and now there's so many stressors in our lives. There are financial stressors, but then there's all the social media stressors. There's all the things that we put into our minds, into our day, into our brains. There's all the information that we have, and it, whether it's true or not is usually not the issue. It's whether we're absorbing it and letting it impact us. We may react to it negatively because we know it's not true, but yet that's still another stressor, and it still triggers the anxiety and the fear.
I remember reading a book years and years ago, talking about the physical and psychological effects of combat, which I think actually very closely parallels this. One of the things that he talked about was that prior to World War II, one might argue World War I, prior to that time, our fighting men went off, they fought their battles during the day, they gathered around the campfire at night. The war stopped at night and picked up the next morning. You know, you think back to Civil War times and whatnot. Night combat was not a major thing, and the cases of soldiers coming home with what we would now refer to as PTSD during World War I, World War II, they'd call it being shell-shocked, was significantly lower because they got time off, they got to decompress, and coming home from a foreign war wasn't an 8 or 10 hour plane ride away. It was a week or two on the ship to decompress with the other people who had been there and come home and have some, you know, return to a normal world. You had a chance to get it all out. So bringing that to our modern time and a non-combat scenario, we don't get time off. The technology is always there. CNN, or whoever you watch, but CNN kind of started it, gives us the news, as it were, 24 hours a day. It never goes away. And we're always amped up, we're always on edge and tense, and we never get to back off.
Well, you know, and this discussion today is not primarily to be about social media or, you know, the things that we do to stimulate our brains. But interesting, my daughter is a vision therapist, and she was talking about studies that are being done now about young men that do video games after midnight, and the percentage of those who will contemplate and even attempt suicide goes up dramatically if, in the middle of the night, they are engaged with their phones, with gaming, with pornography, with those kind of things. And so they're stressing their minds, but it's also just the stimulation of the electronics. All those things play a factor in their brains and influence their actions. And that's strictly a scientific study that she was referring to. And that's not real specific, and I don't want it to be because I don't remember all the details. But
right.
I know that she was talking about that, and I was like, wow, that is so significant. And there back again, and to the original question about anxiety and worry, is it worse today? The stressors are worse.
I think so.
Because it's a 24/7 world.
Yep. And we introduce so much into our minds. So many of us start and end our days with our cell phone 12 inches in front of our eyeballs. And what are we putting into our brains, too? There's, as you mentioned, there's a whole other thing. And I don't think it even has to be as... trying to think of the right word. It doesn't even have to be as toxic as something like pornography. Just the news, just messages from social media and your friends. And I know I'm focusing on the election because I'm an adult and that's the thing happening right now. But as you mentioned, for teenagers, that might be a thing for them too, because it's in the house, it's ever present. But there's so much more. There's so much more they have to worry about with, something, a little anecdotal thing I heard once upon a time was the difference between when we were kids and kids today. They're not allowed to have a bad day. They're not allowed to have a bad hair day. They're not allowed to get sick at school. You know, you think back to grade school days and some kid throws up out in the hallway or something. You poked fun at him the next day, maybe, but if he was even there. But it wasn't on video. There weren't pictures of it. And it wasn't plastered all over the internet for people around the world to say something about.
Yep.
And kids today face that all the time. There's no relief.
Absolutely. And you know, and we've got to be careful, because even as we're talking about this and discussing this, we can be actually contributing to the anxiety, because they can be anxious about the pressure to be anxious. And you know, that's one thing that I really want to get to with what Jonathan did yesterday, because Philippians 4 is the antidote to that. And it is a powerful antidote.
So what is our antidote? For folks who weren't there or didn't catch it, what is our antidote to our anxiety issues?
Well, he used three words.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was realize. And that realizing is what we've been doing here for the last few minutes.
Right.
It's realizing the problem. It's realizing our natural tendencies are to be worriers. We that's just the way we will go. That's the way of the flesh. And then he said to run.
And I underlined this one. That was a big one for me, because we're going through that right now. In the Conquer series and such, is remove thyself.
Yeah, run away from those worries. Separate yourself from them. And I loved the word picture he gave of the word that's used there when he talked about us fleeing from that, us getting away from it. He talked about, if you have a spider on your hand, mm-hmm. the word is cast. And he said, you know, it's not like you're throwing a baseball. It's not like you're throwing a basketball or casting a net to catch fish. No, it's more the idea of, you've got a spider on your hand and you're not going to grab it and throw it. You're going to fling your hand to get rid of it.
Yep.
Because you don't want it even touching you for a millisecond longer than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea is that we deflect as quickly as possible those things that tempt us to worry and say, nope, not going to go there. And we don't let it linger, because if it lingers, it begins to grow roots.
Well, and I think one of the things he said was to not let Satan latch on to your heart. Like, in my mind, it was almost like, if you stand too still, you're going to get stuck where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, run away from it. Get away from the negativity, the bad thing, whatever it is, or you're going to get stuck there. You're more likely to be stuck there.
That's right. Like the spider in your hand, it'll bite you.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang on to it, get rid of that sucker. Don't give him a chance to bite you. Yeah. And then the last one was?
Replace.
Replace. Yes. And that one is the one that is just so refreshing. And he talked about what to replace it with. And what is it, 4:8 that gives us that list, 4:9, where he says, whatsoever things are just and pure and honest and lovely, if it's virtuous, if it's worthy of praise, think on these things. And that's a loose list I just threw out there, but so wonderful to think about those things.
Well, and you know, you mentioned video games, and video games. I used to love video games, but this was back in the olden times, and the kids are going to have to hold on to their shorts here for a second. You had to go to a place called an arcade to play video games, and I loved that. Now, I feel like that, among other many other things, is the replacement that people like to use. So, you know, we use our phones, computers, video games, basically unhealthy things to replace the anxiety, which creates anxiety, maybe? Are we in a self-fulfilling loop here?
It's overstimulation.
Yeah.
It's constant stimulation of your mind and your body, and a lot of times with negative things.
Mm-hmm.
But the contrast to that is to sit down. You know, the scripture says to be still and know that I am God. And this culture has a lot of trouble being still.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many things that are the 5, 10, 15 second clip that we watch. You know,
yes.
The shorts, they're called in some, you know, media versions. But or the point is this, be still. And when you're still and you read the Word of God, you hear the truth of God, and you let that begin to soak in, that in itself brings peace. Now, it may create the turmoil that says, hey, you need to do something about this. But when you do that, when you respond to it in obedience, and it's like if I were to sit down here right now and I'm struggling with something, but I consciously change my thought pattern from this thing that's worrying me that I can't change. Let's use the election as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to vote. And I haven't turned my ballot in yet, but I'm going to. And I waited the last minute on purpose. But I'm going to vote. I've got one vote. Now, I think my vote counts.
I think so.
Because it's us together doing the right thing. That's what makes it happen. But can I change anything that's going on in North Carolina? Can I change anything that's going on in Pennsylvania? Any of the battleground states that we've heard. Can I change a thing about that? I don't have a vote there. I don't have anybody that I could influence there. Nothing I could do. I can sit here and twiddle my thumbs and worry, I wonder what's going to happen when the election starts coming in. Or I can think about yesterday and think about, oh my goodness, was that sunrise or sunset spectacular? And take a deep breath and look at the nuance of the color, and then watch it as it's gradually on the sunrise, just gets brighter and brighter and more brilliant. And if there are those clouds there and they're a brilliant red or pink or whatever the colors may be, and I begin to think about that beauty of God's creation. Or I think about those moments that I got to spend listening to my wife pray. And knowing the wonder of hearing the heart of this woman as she talks to her God with me, and then I get to talk to my God with her. When I meditate on those things, or I think about the wonder of God giving me a verse of scripture last week, telling me not to be afraid and promising me that He would not forsake me and encouraging me and the things that I was going to have to do that honestly were a step of faith and goes against my physical inclinations. And thinking about what God did in my spirit with that, all of a sudden there's peace, there's a calmness, and there is a joy that begins to fill my heart that is stolen if I'm wringing my hands over what's going to happen in Wisconsin.
Right, right. I think that's kind of the, what's that old prayer of give me the peace to, or the, you know, let me do the things, do something about the things I can do and forget about the things that I can't do, and the wisdom to know the difference.
That's right.
And I think that's where, if we look too broadly, you know, we're all worried about the president. The president shouldn't be a factor at all in our lives. And ignoring what's happening inside of our homes. Mm-hmm. And
not embracing the beauty mm-hmm. of what's in our home and the gifts that we have. So that's really important. Last week, my wife and I got to go to a conference put on by Focus on the Family. It was called the 2024 Couples Conference.
Yes.
And we only got to stay for part of it because I needed to go do a funeral in another state. But as we were there, we heard this man that I have come to dearly love. His name's Ted Cunningham. He's a pastor, but he's also an unapologetic comedian. And
all right.
He's good. I mean, he's really good. He'll crack you up. And he was talking about just looking for the fun things of life and learning to enjoy life. And I think that's a lot of what Philippians 4 is talking about. It's not just all being super spiritual all the time. It's about enjoying the beauty and the wonder of life and of the giver of life, who is our Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you'll look hard enough, there's something to laugh about. There's always something to have fun with. And you can just be blessed by that, or you can choose to ignore it or not even notice it.
After the service, there was a church business meeting. I was not able to stay for that, but I hear there were some good things that came out of it. Can you enlighten me and whoever else might have missed that's listening?
Well, you know, Kyle, I said this statement to the folks that, you know, business meetings are one of my least favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
I have had some bad experience at business meetings, and if people have the wrong spirit, they can be very negative. But as you know, and as folks that are attending this church know, God is doing some really special things at Majestic View Church right now. And we are so thankful. And it's all about Him. It's not about anything that I'm doing or you're doing. It's something that God is doing among us. And yesterday, the business meeting was just another example of that. Part of what makes a church thrive and go is clear vision. And over the last few weeks, I've been really searching for what the vision now, in the next few months, the next year, is for Majestic View Church. And the thing that is just pressing on my heart is God has given us in the last year or two unprecedented growth in His church. We're at all-time highs in just the number of people that are involved, not all on Sunday, but through our Vacation Bible School and our Awana ministry mm-hmm. and other things that we're involved in, just amazing number of people that's a little bit overwhelming. But the Lord has given me such a strong heart of love and compassion for these people that have come seeking. And as you know, you're new to Majestic View, relatively new.
It's been a couple of years, but
it's not the easiest thing in the world to fit in mm-hmm. to a new group. There's always that core group that's, it can be very ostracizing, you know, and it's hard to be in the group and feel like you're a part of the group. And if you don't beat that problem, you'll have people come and they'll try, and if they don't make friends and get involved, then they don't stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't feel welcome, or they don't feel
they don't have a connection here.
Yeah, connect, that's a great word. And so I am just super, super focused that we are very conscientious of the incredible value and opportunity we have for new people to get involved in this church. And so we're taking a bold step. We're moving Joseph Tartaglia from being part-time staff to full-time staff.
Okay.
And which is a financial stretch for us. We had a banner year last year. We're going to have another banner there this year,
yep,
in order to cover his salary. But the reason that I have asked Joseph to do this, our elders have bought into this and we're recommending it and have done this now, is that Joseph has some unique gifts that we believe God gave to us and gave to him for this time to help us not just make new people feel welcome when they come in the front door the first time, but to help them find a place, for us to help them have that connection and to truly belong to this church. And yesterday was so exciting because, you know, we usually have, in as large a church as we have, we'll have, you know, 30, 35, 40 people show up for our business meeting. We had easily double that yesterday. And there were new people there. First time they've ever been to a business meeting. Some were just checking us out that have just been here a week or two. And they were saying, oh, I wonder what this is going to be
about. Yeah, let's look behind the curtain here.
Yeah, and just kind of see the inner workings. And they were asking questions, and they weren't negative questions. It wasn't about how we're going to pay for that. It was more, okay, how do we do this? What is this? And what is mm-hmm. this? And how do we get involved? And what can we do? And after it was over, had two different new people walk up to me and say, hey, this is on my heart. Can I do this? I have these resources. How can I help? What can I do? And I'm telling you, the room was full of light.
Fantastic.
And it wasn't just because the bulbs were shining from the ceiling. The room was full of excitement and joy and anticipation. And even one guy spoke up, and this budget that, you know, is a God budget. We can't do it without the Lord's blessing. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, in the middle of the meeting, he said, are you sure this is enough? That's a long ways from, I don't think we can pay for that, Pastor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's exactly the opposite. Are we asking for enough? And the truth is, we are trusting God for what we need, and he knows that. And so we're stepping forward. So that's what the business meeting was about. And, you know, it was also a time to say thank you, and I want to say in this medium, thank you. To Brandon McElroy and all the work that he did to mm-hmm. put together all the numbers and all the work that he does financially for us. And in that same vein, Brenda Kelly, our office manager, and not just the financial stuff she does as she keeps the books, but also just the workings that she does in the office. And then Caitlin Kelly, who is also one of our secretaries, and what she does, not mentioned a whole lot. Jonathan, we've already mentioned him, our youth pastor, and then Joseph and his precious wife Brooke, and just the warmth that they bring
mm-hmm.
to people in this church, and just the heart stopping and listening to people and talking to people and making them feel valued. Our elders, Jim Keene, our elder statesman, and Howie Whitcomb, and then Brian Janes, and then our other staff, Matthew Smith, our worship leader. And then I could list a whole ton of other volunteers, but we took the time just to say thank you to our paid staff, who are, for the most part, underpaid from what they would have if they were working a secular job. But they would do this in a heartbeat any way they could, because they feel a calling from the Lord. And so I just appreciate all of them and the incredible work they do and the love they have for Jesus and the love they have for this church.
Well, and I just got a message. It's not an email. a message right as you were saying this. Apparently, we've hit 100 streams on Spotify just for our little old podcast here. And Spotify is not our largest downloading platform. I agree. I think there's a lot of good things happening and a lot of involvement. Just like everybody listening to this is getting more and more involved in what we're doing.
Well, and I want to give you a thank you because you're one of those guys that, like I said, is newer to the church. You've been coming for a couple of years, but you know, you stuck your neck out and you said, "Hey, can I do this? Can I get involved?" And honestly, I would have never done a podcast on my own. And I don't do anything except just sit here and talk for a few minutes. So you have done a great job of getting us in this venue. And I have people all over the country now that I've talked to, and they said, "Oh, yeah, I listen to podcasts all the time. How do I get it?" And so it's really cool.
Fantastic, yeah.
Thank you, Kyle.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure for me as well. I really enjoy this. This is definitely one of the highlights of my week. Was there a theme set or a future message put forth at the meeting, or
well, the vision was cast, but as far as having a new slogan, so to speak, we usually do that in our elder retreat in January or February, or after the first of the year is when we have time to all get together and do that, and we'll go spend 2 or 3 days away and get before the Lord and pray and worship together and seek the Lord together. And so that's coming. But I do believe that it'll have something to do with, really making the most of the resources God's given us, the assets that He's brought our way, which our assets are obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the people. It's the people that the people that have been here a long time, but the people that are here new and bringing fresh ideas and fresh energy into the church. So if I were to say right now what the new saying is going to be this year, it's been trusting the shepherd and loving people. Then next year I'm thinking it's going to have something to do with caring about those people, that new group of people.
I notice as I look around this church and I look at other churches, and I heard something the other day of speaking of the Catholic Church, that a lot of their church memberships are their membership as an organization is falling, but their membership at their most ardent and traditional parishes is growing. And I find it amazing that as church membership nationwide is declining, I think overall, that we're growing. And we're growing in a town where I'm pretty sure the population of this church on a given Sunday is about equal to the rest of the town.
Well, it actually is almost 50%.
There you go.
We're a town of 700, and roughly 700
roughly,
people.
Yeah.
But yes, and Kyle, what I found, I've been doing this for a long time. Before I came to Kiowa, I've done it for a long time, but we've been here 28 years now, and I've learned that people are hungry for something that's real. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about the pastor, although I've got to be a real person, a transparent person. No, they're looking for something that when they come, they say, "Wow, the presence of God is there. There's love in that place." And that's something that we pray for all the time, that we will be a loving, caring church for each other, everybody that's here, as well as for anybody that walks in that door that's needing help.
Well, as we've discussed a few times before, and it's come up recently in my talks with my daughter, that always seem to come up in these, that if we focused on being a mega church, I mean, heck, for Kiowa, we're a mega church. But if we focused on something like that, if we focused on being Baptists or Pentecostal or whatever, I think we would fail. But if we focus on being followers of Jesus, that's, I think, what people are looking for.
Followers of Jesus who love people.
There you go. All right, next week. Are you going to be back?
Yes, I will be all back right. Next week. We're going to finish up the book of Philippians.
Okay.
And the title I'm playing with right now, the theme for sure, is Joy No Matter What Happens. And we're going to kind of wrap up the whole book, but there's some really neat things, and we're going to have an opportunity in our service. Right now, the plan is that we're going to stop in the middle of the service, and we're going to talk about some thank yous of what God has been doing in our midst. And just let the person in the pew maybe have a word or two spontaneously, not planned, not orchestrated. Just whatever the Lord gives us. So we'll see. And
right.
I hope to bring that as a part of the service. I'm not making an absolute promise there. But I really think it would be appropriate because I've had a lot of people talk to me about what the book of Philippians and talking about joy has meant to them and how God has spoken to their hearts through His Word. So I'd love to have people have an opportunity maybe to share some of that. So we'll see. But anyway, we're going to wrap up the book and, you know, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. What a promise.
Absolutely. Well, until next week.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Thank you.